The Hannity kicking gonna stop. It's gonna start now. It's gonna run through the summer, and it's hot, hot, hot in public, if you will.
Night. That's right. Special edition Tuesday night episode of Plum Love Foods Live. Here's the story. Why? In case you were curious. In case you were, you know, wondering what happened. Well, last night was Halloween, and I had to do the Halloween thing with my family. My kids enjoy still the ancient art of trick-or-treating. So we did that. And then last week, I had a little bit of... I was a little sick. That's all it was to it. I wasn't feeling in the most pristine of health, so... Had to put off an interview with somebody, and we'll catch that interview up at some point here with the people from Anheuser-Busch. But I figured what way to come back here on a Tuesday night and have a fantastic episode with two very, very cool people, especially kind of keeping it festive with the whole Halloween thing going on. Listen, it's the day after Halloween. Doesn't mean we still can't talk Halloween. And I thought we would talk about some scary kitchen stories and horrendous things that happened, you know, for the Plum Love Food big Halloween spooktacular, right? Spooktacular. Yeah, I should cheat myself for that. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible word to use. Who says spooktacular? I don't know. Whoever still says spooktacular should not say it. That's all I got to it. Anyway, tonight, we got the one, the only, my man Omar, a.k.a. Culinary Harassment, coming on the show. We're going to have a roundtable tonight with him, myself, and, of course, one of our favorite past guests, Chef Hassan from... This past season of Hell's Kitchen, Chef Haas is an awesome guy, dude. I always enjoy talking to him. And, of course, always enjoy talking to my man, Culinary Harassment. We always have a great time. If you guys didn't see, we did an episode of Edible Long Island on the Road, and Omar was in the episode. How dope was that? He did a great job, man. We hung out at a farmer's market out in Long Island, out in Babylon. It's a great episode. You can find it at ediblelongisland.com if you're interested in checking it out. It's really cool, man. It was a lot of fun. Hopefully do something fun like that with Hassan in the future, man. That'd be very, very cool, too. That's another cool cat I'm looking forward to some point getting some time to go work with. No more sickness for me. Not that anybody cares. There's going to be some very, very big changes to this program coming soon in a really good way. In a really, really good way. That's how I look at it. Maybe not everybody sees it the same way. But I think it will be, man. I think it will be because we're going to probably move this show I'm not going to say yet because I don't have a complete full way to tell the whole story yet. But we've had some offers to take this show and do something different with it besides what we're doing here, which is pretty fucking cool, I think. So looking forward to exploring that option. It probably won't be till... Let's get through Thanksgiving first. Let's get through the holidays. You know, let's get through that part of it. It'll make life a lot easier. Get through the holidays first. We'll leave it at that. Not to mention, you guys, I've only said it on this show, and I'll say it again. But I'll say it now, too, as well. It's official. Edible on the Road is a TV show. We're going to make a big announcement this week about that with the first episode airing. November 26th. That's right. Edible Nutmeg on the Road is officially a TV show. November 26th, My Network 9 TV here in Connecticut and on Long Island. We're really excited about that, man. It's a labor of love. That's for damn sure. It's going to be fun to get it out there. Fun for everybody to see all the hard work we've done. We've got some new footage. We got a lot of things cool with it, man. So I'm looking forward to sharing that with everybody and showing what we've done with it. We're going to kind of stagger the guests, I think, a little bit, man. Let's go ahead and why not? Let's just go ahead right now. One of the coolest chefs I've met in the past few years. He's an incredibly nice guy, a very, very, very talented pastry chef, and overall just a great human being. Joining me right now, the one, the only, Chef Omar, aka Culinary Harassment. Brother, what's happening?
What's going on, my beautiful brother? How you been?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm freaking hanging out. I am getting ready to do this show. It's always great to hear your voice and talk to you a little bit, man. I want to have fun with this tonight and just tell some terrible ass kitchen stories. I thought it'd be a trip, especially for the Halloween season.
Man, we always have a good night, man. Like, you know, every time we do this, it's always a nice evening. I got my castmates, Jameson right here in my Marine Corps cup. And I was thinking about this whole thing. I was like, I don't know if I can remember any of the horror stories from the kids.
Oh, I'm sure they'll come back to you, man. I'm sure they'll come back to you. I have no doubt.
I think Jameson's got something out of me.
Yeah, see, I think that's what it will. The Jamesons will bring it back, that's for sure. So, dude, I was just talking a little bit here about what's happening with me and what's going on. And I was talking about we did an episode of Edible Long Island on the Road together, you and I, man. That was a lot of fun, man. It got a pretty good reaction when it came out. What do you think?
Yeah, that was pretty cool, man. You know, it's just I've never done anything like that. I want to thank you again for inviting me to do something like that. It was a lot of fun meeting some people and going out there to Long Island. I'm always open for new experiences, and that was clearly something for me that was, you know, it was educational in a way too.
You know, well, there'll be more in the future. That's for sure, man. There's a lot of stuff going on with all that, man, and it's exciting. And, you know, like I was saying a minute ago, like here for our Edible Nutmeg that we're doing, we're officially a TV show starting Saturday mornings, November 26th on My Network TV. We're very excited, man.
Well, congratulations on that. I mean, you put a lot of hard work, you know, and it's paying off.
I think so. I hope so. I do. But it's kind of one of those things, man, where I didn't want to make some show where we're just talking about cooking food. No, everybody does that, man. I want to show where the stuff comes from. You were there. You were part of an episode. You know, just showing where that stuff comes from and really focusing on the farmers and the people who make that stuff happen.
Yeah, man. It's gonna be nothing but good things from now on. I mean, there are always good things with you, but you know, I see the light at the end of the tunnel with you, and there you want to pursue this path.
Yo, could you tell my wife that?
I'm excited for you, and you know, I definitely would love to be part of that in the future too.
Oh, dude, you're always there. Trust me, you're always on my radar, on my notebook, ready to do something with. So, we got Manhattan and Brooklyn coming up. So trust me, we'll be in touch. Don't worry.
Absolutely.
So, dude, you know, it's funny because I want to talk kitchen stories, and we're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to wait for Haas to come, which, by the way, when I told Haas, who is a super cool guy, man, a great chef, he was on this past season of Hell's Kitchen, and, you know, a lot of chefs on that show get a lot of flack, but I tell you what, this guy truly can cook. He's a great guy. He's been on the show before. He's a big fan of you, that's for sure. He told me that via text message last night.
Oh, man, wow. It's I'm honestly, I would love to meet this guy. You know what I mean, like face to face.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's what
I'm always open. I don't try to hide behind the Instagram profile. You know, anybody who reaches out to me. Just the other day, there was a person who works in Brooklyn. Her and her boyfriend they're gonna meet up. Most likely this week sometime, and just, you know, you build, you know, talk and stuff, and it's beautiful, man. I love meeting new people and getting to know them, and you know, it just what we built with the Tulku community is something I treasure a lot. I mean, it has evolved tremendously. You know, every now and then I miss those golden days of, you know, when we were starting off and we were building in this, you know, small circle. But, you know, when I take a step back and I look how huge this is, wow, man.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's beautiful. I still don't see any other industry out there that had built a community like we have.
So well, man, I know we got another person here on the phone who just called in and wants to tell a little something. And definitely another guy that I know you touched stuff with meeting and whatnot. You got Chef Adam Bedini. Chef, you there?
What's happening, Plum? What's happening, Omar?
What's up, Adam? What's up, baby? How you been?
Not too bad. I was actually in your neck of the woods today, brother.
You in Queens?
No, I was up close. I was in Brooklyn, Bronx, that area.
And you didn't text me, man. That's messed up.
Sorry, bro. I wasn't thinking. I'm sorry, bro.
That's the first horror story right there.
Boom. Horror story number one.
No, look, I'm going to tell you a horror story. I'm going to tell you a horror story about this motherfucker right here. This motherfucker right here is the reigning and defending Connecticut Chef's Challenge champion 2 years in a row, dog. 2 years in a row. How fucked up is that?
That matters.
Actually, you know what? I got a horror story.
Remember?
now the Adam is the PC Jameson's worth it, I'm telling you. When Adam shows up to the Tukic meetup in October.
The first one when it was freezing cold.
Yeah, that was the first one. I'm talking about the second one. The
first okay.
one December, October. What's the name of the guys with us outside the Mama Tukic?
Oh God, Jesus.
Yes.
Nah,
everybody
Jesus.
Was there.
It wasn't Jesus.
Dude, what the fuck is his name? I forgot his name.
Bo Dangles.
Yes.
Bo Dangles. Yeah, I'm saying, yeah. My buddy Bo, dude. That was a horror story.
I never did a dab before in my life. I'm standing there with Adam, him, and Brandon Dooley. So we're in a circle, just, you know, passing a freaking pen around, and I'm just thinking regular oil. Man, I hit that so many times. You know when people say, you know, they found Jesus, you know, religion or whatever? That was the most intense religious experience I had. Everything was shaking. Everybody came out of Momofuku. It was like 30, 40 deep in there. I mean, that was like 11 o'clock in the morning. And
damn.
I was in another interview with you that night. I remember you asked me if I was going to have a drink, and I was like, nah, I'm done.
Yeah, you're like,
that's the best bowl of ramen you ever had, though.
Oh, my God. I was tripping balls. Like,
oh, man. Even did that today. I had moments with you today, actually.
I had to do a photo shoot with Chad, and, you know, we had to rock the gear. All those photos that you see me rocking the gear, that was pissed off my fucking mind, man. Yo, Chad came up to me later. He was like, I thought you were actually weird, because I was like, I'm not wearing this fucking hat. Get Chad off of me. Oh, my God. I'll never do that again.
Damn. Well, look, Adam, so we got a couple minutes here before Chef Haas calls in, brother. So you got a good kitchen horror story, or what you got, brother?
Oh man, I got a good one. So it's not about me. It's about this kid. We were working. I was working at the sports bar a few years ago, and this kid was racing through fucking prime rib for Philly cheesesteaks, and he got to the end and he split his thumb wide open all the way down like the snake tongue of a snake, man. That was a bad one.
Wait,
that's
so
probably
the
worst horror story.
Like with a
his
knife?
Thumb went through the slicer, long way,
oh,
all the way down.
Oh, damn.
Oh, it looked like a snake's tongue when he did thumbs
and
up.
Everybody knows how a slicer works. So, like, when you take your hand and go across it like that and just take, like was it like
no,
a
no, he didn't go across. No, he didn't go across. He went all the way down, like, lengthwise.
Ooh.
Shit.
Yeah.
That makes you want to have a strawberry milk right now.
That's probably the worst I've ever seen.
That is fucking terrible, dude.
Yeah.
I mean,
he was like, 10 minutes past shift. He's like, I just want to go home. And he's like, oh, no, you're going to the emergency room now. Like 30-something staple. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. What about yourself, Chef? What about Adam? What's the worst knife wound you've given yourself?
Oh, God damn. I think culinary school, my second week, I did the stupid thing. I bought a new knife and I brought it to class. I was like, oh, check out my new knife. Boop, there goes my fucking my pointer finger. Went all the way off the nail.
I mean, it's like riding a motorcycle, man. It's not a question of if you're going to roll it over, it's when. You know, when you get new
my nickname for culinary school for 2 years in Florida was fucking finger.
I'm calling you. That's what I'm calling you from now on.
I hope I do. There's probably mad people listening. It's on now.
Hey, man, look, well, you keep doing your thing and fucking keep crushing it. And I look forward to, you know, we've been doing some work here together lately and kicking ass. And so I look forward to doing more with you.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. Fucking killing it. Omar, we got to catch up soon, brother.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's all you're in town. Text me, man. What the hell?
Yeah, well,
right.
We'll make something happen. My bad.
Love, man.
All right. Look, there he goes. We'll talk to you soon, bro. There he goes on down the road. Look, whenever you're on, Omar, he has to call in because, you know, he just wants to say what's up to you and talk to you, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the only way with him and I will, you know, stay in touch. But clearly, you know, I know he's got my number. I know we texted before.
Well, I'll fuck with him now. Tell him he should talk to you when he's in the city.
Man, he's cool, man. I remember when he first showed up. It was maybe like, you know, 25, 30 people for the first Cooper's meet. Like, me and Paulie were there. We didn't know what the hell we were doing. And they got showed up undressed and, super energetic, man. Like, he was, out of all those people out there, he clearly left a strong impression on me. And he's very passionate about what he does.
He's a good dude, man. He's a good dude, and he's a great cook. And, you know, I think it's always great to have people like that together, to be able to talk to just have them on board and, you know, be able to tell those stories, because I think that everybody has something to teach. You know what I'm saying? I think everybody has something to...
Yeah, you want to surround yourself with the good people, man, with the positive people, strong people. You know what I mean? You don't want to surround yourself with the individuals. People who are not ambitious. Yeah, that's, you know, you're wasting your time, and then it's kind of like, you know, walking around with the pulling anchors.
Nah, man, I think you're absolutely right. And speaking of good people and good cooks and good people, and trust me, when I say good cook, I don't mean that in a bad way. Being a cook is definitely what I am, what you are, what we all are. It's a great thing. And on top of that, another great person here and a great chef. I got the one, the only, Chef Hassan here on the phone with us now. Chef, what's up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, Plum? How you been, man?
I am good, buddy. It's great to hear your voice and talk to you and see what's going on. I know you're probably working, aren't you? Or finishing up?
Oh, yeah, actually, I'm just wrapping up the event right now. We're just getting ready to roll out here pretty soon.
At least you're in there back there washing dishes by yourself, are you?
No, I got my cousin here with me and one of my buddies that was hanging out. We're just about done. We're just strapping everything down.
Nice, nice. Well, Haas, I want you to meet the one, the only culinary harassment. My man Omar is on the line also.
What's going on, Omar? How are you, man? I've been following you for years, man.
Yeah, man. Like, that's what's up, man. Like, you should have reached out.
I love what you're doing, man. You're doing a great job with food, man. I love all your posts when I read them. You're killing it.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. I had a chance to, you know, go on your page, too. And, yeah, definitely we should meet up and build a little bit, you know, get to know one another.
Yeah, I'd love to, for sure. You are originally from Bosnia?
Yeah,
am I right?
Yeah, born and raised in Bosnia.
Do you speak Bosnian or more than that, two languages?
Well, yeah, I'm fluent. Absolutely, yeah.
That's awesome, man. That's really, really awesome.
Yeah. Dude, Omar was like running away from war and stuff, man, with his and left his family. It was like, his whole story is insane, dude.
Oh yeah, check it out, man. I've checked it out like bits and pieces, you know.
Nice. So Haas, what's going on with you these days, man? I see you're doing the food truck thing, you're crushing it, man. Everything's going well.
Yeah, man, I got my truck open, you know. Been open for like 3-4 months now. I've been busy as hell. Still doing freelancing and consulting, so I've been busy with that, just kind of waiting for the slow season, which is hopefully like, I don't know, next week, maybe the week after.
Nice. Hey, how long is that contract? Holiday season. How long is that no compete you got with Hell's Kitchen? How much longer is that shit got to go?
You know, they told me that it was up until the end of the show.
Oh, really? You should check your fucking contracts. So I'm sure that shit's longer than that.
That's what I thought. I thought it was 2 years, and I reached out, and I emailed them, and they said, it was kind of a weird email back. They said, we're pretty sure that the no-compete contract is over when the last episode is aired.
Damn, so, well, shit.
I've been kind of applying, you know, and sending myself out there.
Yeah, well, don't waste your time with Chopped, man. I'm just helping you out. They won't even fuck with you because you've been on Hell's Kitchen.
Really?
Yes, they don't want if you've done any
networks, huh?
You've done other shows. They don't want you, man. They don't want them to do with you. But that's neither here nor there. I want to talk to you gentlemen tonight. We already started the conversation a little bit with another phone call from our friend Chef Adam Bedini, but we were talking about, you know, being Halloween season, I guess it's the day after, but I had to do some Halloween shit last night with the family. But, you know, about just horrendous horror stories in the kitchen. And, you know, I think between the three of us here, we've probably got 174 years of experience in the kitchen. I did the math.
Right.
So, you know, I can think off the top of my head. And when I say horror stories, I mean anything from cutting hands up to terrible chefs to just horrendous cooks to just horrendous things happening on your way to a catering even or something stupid like that. And so to me, you know, that's the stuff that's scary when it comes down to things that are scary in life. And, you know, obviously not with, you know, people dying and family and shit, but like work-wise, those are the types of things that scare me to death. And, you know, I got a million of them, man. I've been doing this shit for 20 years, but I'll tell you guys a quick one to start it off. The beginning, I guess, of this is this past summer, I started taking a lot of work out in the Hamptons. Had a really nice party. It was going to be a nice, profitable party for us. And it was going to be a good time and really great people. It was a bachelorette party. It was 12 women, all about my age, roughly, maybe a little younger. Don't make that joke, Omar. I know you want to make fun of me and call me old, but I'm not going to let you do it right now.
Same age, homie.
No, I think I'm older than you by a little bit, homie. So, 38.
Yeah, big G, man.
So, look.
How old, Omar?
Chad is older than all of us.
Yeah, I know. So we get in the car, we're heading over there. It's about a 2-hour drive. You know, so we get in the truck, we're heading over there. It's exciting, it'll be a good party and whatnot. We get about two hours into our 2-hour and 20-minute drive, and I realize I didn't pick up the wine. The wine's still sitting back at my wine shop 2 hours away.
Oh, that's terrible.
That's not good. And all I'm trying to do is figure out what the fuck I can do. So I ended up just calling the client and just telling her, look, I fucked up. I'm going to get you some other wine from someplace else, but it's not going to be the same shit. And ended up being really cool with it. But those are the things that scare me to death, man. That's the shit that makes me fucking scared to death.
Was that one of your worst?
No, that's just a starter. That's just a starting point. That's just a starting point. Or Omar, so look, you've been all around, man, working in New York City and doing the things that you've done. I'm sure you've seen some pretty fucked up, crazy things that have happened to you. I mean, not with the crazy stuff that's happened in your life, but you've seen some crazy things happen in the kitchen, man. Tell us something that's been kind of a horror story.
You know, I used to work at a bakery up in East Harlem, and the bakery, like, nobody really knew the bakery was there because we had a big garage door that was pretty much always closed unless deliveries were being sent out. But deliveries were always going out like super early in the morning, like before the sun goes out. I mean, the sun goes up.
Okay.
And so, even the people in the neighborhood never really knew. they could smell bread and things like that, but then they, you know, they would walk by sometimes and be like, oh, wow, I didn't know it was this from bakery, right? Right across the street from the project, and one year there was some sort of a gangway, and you know, this was about to happen, and one of my friends had dropped at some point. Like, there was another girl that she was working with for maybe, like, I don't know, less than a month, and she got robbed as she was getting out of the cab, so we took the job after that. And but the crazy thing is, I came to work one day and there was blood all over the place. And I was usually the operation was 24 hours, and I was one of the guys who would come in. One of the first guys to come in the morning. I just assumed the sous chef position at the place, and so I was always the first. But this time my chef was there, and I was like, I saw the blood everywhere. I was like, okay, what the fuck happened? And turns out two guys at night, they had these squabbles constantly. They were always arguing and things, but nothing got resolved, and they got in a fight. And one of them took a knife and stabbed another one.
What?
So we went to the theater and watched it, and you know, you couldn't get the audio, but you can clearly see what happened. And you know, there was a wooden table that where you should go to go. Was in between them, and one of them was, you know, clearly instigating something. You can tell by the body language. And the other one was working, and you can see that he's getting irritated. Also, you know, literally was moving his body, and he just snaps, grabs this knife that was, you know, I mean, we have a large knife, so we were cutting, like, you know, we were making, you know, hundred loaves of bread, and so he just kind of swings it like Serena Williams. I mean, he like kicked his leg out and everything, and just sliced his arm open. He just squirted everywhere, and then, you know, by the time, you know, he walked it to the front. So we had to clean all this shit up and sanitize everything. So it was, you know, I actually have some. I took pictures of all the place and the blood and everything. I mean, I was thinking about posting on Instagram, but I was like, nah, I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing to post.
That would have been pretty cool though. But yeah, that part of the city over there is, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning is not fun to walk into. But it's really how you carry yourself, and, you know, how you, how you act, really. You know what I'm saying? You gotta be cool in your working environment as well, not just in the outside. You gotta pick and choose your fights.
Man, I think I missed a day in culinary school where they teach you how to clean up after a murder scene. I think I missed that day.
That was ridiculous, yeah. So we lost two people, and then we lost two people, and, you know, it took us a little while to get some new people in and train them, and yeah. But and I left shortly after that. You know, like, that was still towards the end of my 4 years.
You think?
No, but that's not why I left. I just left because I was ready to move on.
Right up. That's how you know Omar's a loyal motherfucker. So he has to clean up blood from a knife fight. But you know what? That's fine. I'm not leaving yet. I'm leaving because I'm going out for better opportunities.
Damn. That doesn't scare me. I've seen a lot of ways.
I don't know how you even top that, man. That's fucking crazy. Haas, you see any knife fights?
Terrible, man. No, man, I've never seen any knife fights. I've seen some cooler fights before, you know?
Cooler fights? Yeah, hell yeah.
The Mexicans used to go in the cooler and just duke it out, man.
They did? Like they just go in the cooler fight?
They would be arguing, and it was one of those things, like, you want to go in the cooler and fight? Okay. They go in the cooler, fight for a second, and then go back to work. Hey, man, respect, right? I got respect for something like that.
Yeah, walking is an environment that, you know, you can do a lot of things in, you know what I mean?
I know
some people that used to make out in a walk-in. I've even heard,
yeah.
you know, I've heard things that went further than making out. Also, like, you know, fights, arguing, things like that. And, you know, the classic quote of there should be on a shirt, you know, go crying and walking.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like
it's the perfect place to yell at somebody, too, because, you know, there's no cameras, there's no witnesses. It's kind of one of those your word against theirs, you know. I had a guy
in,
right.
the summertime,
was,
in the summertime, everybody wants to scream at you.
Oh, yeah. I had a guy one time, man, he was kind of talking behind my back when I started this job as a sous chef, you know, and
right.
I went in one day and I was so mad, man. I kept thinking, like, what am I going to do to this guy? He keeps talking behind my back on my days off when I leave, you know. So one day before he was leaving, I just pulled him in the cooler, and I'll never forget, my buddy told me to hold something really menacingly. So I grabbed this fucking cucumber and I kind of held the cucumber like a gun, you know. Because me and my buddy were talking about it. We were like, yeah, I was like, yeah, I was like, I'm going to do it in the cooler, you know? So I held this cucumber at him and I just told him, I was like, I heard my fucking name's been in your mouth a lot, buddy. I was like, this is going to be the last fucking time you ever talk about me, motherfucker. And, you know, he tried to say something and I'm still holding this cucumber. And I told him, I said, tomorrow I'm going to fucking come to work and I'm going to fucking slap you on the ass. It's going to be great. I said, but I'll tell you one time, keep my fucking name out of your mouth, you know? And
yeah.
It worked.
I don't think I've ever heard.
It was just me and him. Nobody was there.
Sense.
Oh yeah, dude. You, I held it right at my waist. I held it so menacingly when I was yelling at him, squeezing it so hard. You know. he knew. He knew it was going down when I had that cucumber in my hand.
So
I remember walking in
is,
the cooler, thinking, "Go on."
The best part is, had we not heard the first part of that story, if we just heard that you held it waist level and gripped it tighter and tighter, and he knew he was going to get it, that's all we heard.
Menacingly.
I'm like, damn, that's kind of interesting.
I'm going to have to use that. I'm going to have to use it in my writing.
There you go.
Oh, yeah,
so
man. I saw.
Story.
I got a pretty good horror story, man. I saw a guy one time. He stepped in the Manhattan chowder one time. His whole foot and leg in a 5-gallon bucket of it. We just opened up the seafood restaurant in Detroit. You know, they dropped it from the tilt skillet. It was like 20 gallons of it. And I don't know, this guy was like 6'5". He was just walking by and somehow he went like calf deep in the seafood chowder, man.
Damn.
I remember he was trying to wash his shoe, man. He ended up having to throw the shoes out. I mean, the soup wasn't really a big deal. Yeah, 5 gallons, it's a lot of money. But, I mean, it was a new restaurant, you know. It was just more funny that it happened to him.
Well, I was going to say, I hope you threw the soup out, right?
Oh, yeah. You all, I mean, you know. Yeah, we had to.
Family meal.
He's like, no. No, yeah, family meal.
Family meal. Oh, that'd be so terrible.
Yo, man, just pour a cap full of bleach in that shit. You're good. It's good. Don't worry about it.
Oh, that's terrible.
Holy
that's
shit.
That's so terrible, man.
That's fucking great. So check it out. So I was working in this hotel in Virginia. It was a 5-star, 5-diamond, AAA, mobile arena hotel. Badass place called the Jefferson Hotel. And, you know, when you go to these big hotel banquet kitchens, how it just has, like, you know, it's not really a burner on the stovetop. It's just a big-ass, long, like, 8-foot-long piece of iron on the stove where you can take out the little circles. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But so it's so you can get, like, a bigger space to cook on. Well, anyway, so we had this veal stock working on the stove for, like, 14 hours. And it had that nice layer of fat on the top of it. So, you know, when you get that layer of fat, that stock can go over 212 degrees now because the shit's got no place to go to evaporate. So it just gets fucking hotter and hotter and almost stops boiling. So, this motherfucker, he goes, I was an intern. And this dude, this French, I guess, sous chef, what they would call him. I don't know. He was like the banquet sous chef or some shit. He had a lazy eye. Hair was always all fucked up, gray. And he never held a knife the right way. His apron was always all fucking bloody and no one knew why. It was weird, man. And this motherfucker takes a 5-gallon bucket, right? A 5-gallon plastic, like, you know, 5-gallon bucket, and puts that shit up on the stovetop where you would, like, where the iron stovetop goes. And he starts straining the fucking stock into it. Well,
oh my God.
The second he lifts it up, what happens? The bottom falls out of the fucking bucket because it melted everywhere, all over my hand because I was reaching into the oven. And let me tell you something.
Oh my God.
The burn that's on my hand that I got from that, it started bleeding. I mean, it was fucking the most horrendous thing ever. And let me tell you something. That shit now, when I get tan from like my knuckles up to my past my wrist, doesn't really tan because of this French motherfucker and his fucked up hair and lazy eye putting a plastic bucket on a goddamn stovetop. What a retard.
Oh, that's so terrible, man.
And look, I finished my shift too, dog. I finished my shift. I didn't leave.
Oh, really? That's terrible.
Fuck yeah, I ain't leaving.
That's over by humility, dedication, and sacrifice right there.
That's right.
Right.
I worked that shit one-handed.
Yeah, there was a story that my chef told me years ago. He did a
banquet or in that box.
He did a banquet thing and loaded up the whole sheet rack with desserts. And you know, he's a seasoned veteran at this point. And everybody knows that you pull the rack, you don't push the rack. So
yeah,
he was pushing the rack and hit one of the one of the parts around the floor, and all the desserts went out.
Oh,
floor. He was telling me that my thought was like, you know, how do you not know not to pull the rack? You know what I mean?
They're front wheel drive, not rear wheel drive.
Entering the industry, you don't know, but you know, push and pull. This is like, this is kind of elementary. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's funny you say that. That actually happened on the racetrack at the Grand Prix one year when my friends were working it. It was the year before I started working it, thank God. But they dropped a whole speed rack of food on the racetrack, like during an intermission.
Oof.
That's awesome.
And they luckily they didn't even have to clean it up. They just got kicked off the track. Basically, they're like, "Go, go, go!"
Hey, look here, Omar. I bet that motherfucker knows. Look, Penske cleaned it. Hey, look, they know now. Trust me, they know now. They're never forgetting that shit.
Oh hell no, man! I mean, luckily it was the first year, so it wasn't too bad. The first year it came back to Detroit.
Damn.
So now we learned no taking food on speed racks across the racetrack. That's not allowed during race times.
You know how I did the alien Easter eggs years ago for the Easter egg hunt around the city? I made these little small chocolate eggs or whatever.
Right.
The year before that, I was working for. Well, I don't know if it was the year before that, but it was when I first started working for. Right out of school, because after that, I was making vintage chocolates over there. And him and his chef, they went to Florida for some food and wine. And I just took the opportunity to play around in the kitchen. So I didn't really do anything. So all I did
That's
was
cool.
play around. So I made a huge, huge alien egg. It was about like 3 feet tall. And like a dumbass, I left it over there. You know, I went to kind of like, you know, show my artistic skills. He felt sick that I was going to vow him. And when I came back to work on Monday, man, they fucking tore my ass apart like a ping pong.
That's really shitty, man.
Yeah.
Damn.
I was sous chef at a restaurant one time, man. I ordered a bunch of fresh seafood, you know, shellfish. What was it? Shellfish, clams. I got some fresh shrimp from Hawaii. I was really excited to like make a stock with the shells and everything, you know. And I got all this great seafood, and I'm looking for it for like 25 minutes, and I found out the dishwasher put it all in the freezer.
Oh,
I was so mad, man. He killed everything.
Oh,
and so, you know, I'm trying to save it. I got my expo cleaning the shrimp, you know, and he's got the shells all in a container. I showed him how to do it. He's got a full container of shells. I went to, like, go to the bathroom or something, come back, the container's empty. I'm like, what happened to all the shrimp?
He fucking threw
them
away.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I thought they were garbage.
Oh,
I was like,
fuck,
special
dude.
Fucking ruins. I got dead fucking shellfish, you know?
fucking terrible, man. Oh my god.
Oh, I mean, look, yeah, man.
At least you didn't take him into the walk-in and grasp it menacingly and shake it at him, but then tell him that you were angry.
Menacingly.
You just gotta grab it below your waist.
Right.
And shake it menacingly. That's very important.
That should totally be
below the waist.
That should be a shirt, just a picture of like shoulders down, holding a fucking cucumber. Say, hold it menacingly below your waist. I don't know
Let's
why I think it's so
tie
fun.
These bags off right here, Joma.
Yeah, I got it. I'll label them.
And then we'll just put them in the truck, you know, but let's tie them good. Sorry, man. Hoss I'm just
work
this
no, no, dude, you're, I'm about to get up and start, you know, grab my apron and just start labeling shit for you.
Oh, no, we're good, man. We're finishing up here. We're about to head out.
Hoss, what's the worst knife cut you've had?
Me? Oh, man, I cut, like, almost half of my thumb off one time, or, like, half the tip of my thumb, so it wasn't too bad. I've had some pretty, like, usually that's about the worst. I think that's happened to me, like, 2 times in my life. But that one happened to me, like, most recently. It was, like, 3 years ago when I was going to a Hell's Kitchen audition, and I just, like,
oh, no shit.
I went up to the chef. I was helping him open a restaurant. It was my first day helping him out, and I was like, hey, you got me for 15 more minutes. What do you need? And he threw me, like, some Japanese eggplant and told me to brunoise. Pulled out this brand new knife that I got and just cut off like half the tip of my thumb, man. Fucking, I should have just left instead of giving him those 15 minutes, you know? So for the remainder 12 minutes, I tried to patch up my thumb. Oh man, there was no patching it up. I went home. My brother's a nurse. I basically had my thumb like out in my sunroof, you know, holding it up because it was pulsating. Got home. My brother did his best to basically patch it up. My thumb was like, we wrapped it up almost as big as my hand, man. It was hilarious. And I just went and stood in line for the audition for Hell's Kitchen, you know? And I mean, it made for a good story. They're like, what happened?
Oh,
I'm like,
oh,
I just cut the fuck out of myself. Like, they love that shit, you know?
Oh, like, yeah.
Oh, maybe he'll do it on TV.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
He cut himself here. Maybe he'll do it on TV.
If we throw you a little extra stipend for your daily stipend, can you go ahead and just cut your hand a little bit for us?
Yeah, we're gonna give you an extra $28. Do you mind?
28. Well, 24 after taxes, but nonetheless. Dude, that's fucking great.
Man. What about you, Plum? What about you, Plum? You got any cuts? You talk about the furs and stuff. Did you get any bad cuts in you?
I've had a total, I think, of 14 stitches in my hand. One time in you know, it's the way it goes. I was in Virginia and it's before I had any
real training.
Were you
holding a cucumber?
I was I was holding it menacingly below the waist. I was doing a party, and this was before I had any real training or anything, and I was still kind of teaching myself how to do things. And I was slicing tenderloin for a party, and you know, we just seared it off, it rested. I was slicing it up for the party, and then I switched over and saw that we had to slice up some carrots to go with it, right? I don't remember how the fuck that happened. But anyway, it ended up, I had to go from the tenderloin to the carrots. So I grabbed my knife and I grabbed the carrot and I put it down and I start cutting it, right? And this is in the middle of service. So I'm cutting it while we're doing a party while service is happening. So I'm trying to call tickets while slicing the tenderloin and cutting this carrot up. And the fucking bolt of my knife, right where the blade is, at the end of the blade, where it's nice and fat, you know, because I'm cutting a round vegetable. So I'm not smart enough to make the fucking flat first. Rolls out the way, and I just put this knife, the bolt of my knife, about, oh fuck, I'd say 80% of the way through the tip of my thumb, like all the way down. And just, you know, when you cut yourself, like when I tell that story, you can feel that, right? You can, you know what it feels like. You can like relive that shit, you know? I pick my hand up, this flap of skin is flapping off my thumb, and there's a bright white something in the middle. So
yes.
I it was the bone.
Yes. And then you lay there, and then all of a sudden your blood starts showing up. The next thing you know, it's
all
blood, right?
Oh
man,
the place. Fucking blood everywhere. So I push it down
that's
and hold
so
on
shitty,
to
man.
It. I push it down and hold on to it. And this, I mean, I'm fucking, I was probably 20 years old. You know, I'm trying to run a kitchen. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And I'm trying to stop this bleeding. I'm wrapping a towel around it, not realizing how bad it was. Ended up started actually feeling a little bit dizzy, which is kind of crazy. First time that's ever happened. Not intoxicated.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the servers, a very attractive girl, actually, ended up taking me to the patient first right down the road. We were in Richmond, which is a city, so it was right down the road. They put seven stitches on my thumb to put it back together, bandaged it up, and like a fucking trooper, you know what I did? Went back to work and finished the fucking party. Damn right.
Oh, man. Fuck that. Damn right. I would have done the same thing, man, but now that I'm older, I'm just like, you know.
Nah. Yeah, no, nah, man, I'm fucking hurt. I'm out. I'm injured. I'll be on IR for the next couple of days.
Yeah,
no, man, I went back to this fucking party.
I've honestly never gone to the hospital getting hurt. You know, I've usually just like figured something out. You know.
Well, you got a nurse for a brother. That helps. You don't have to go.
Yeah, I got a nurse brother. I'm always the guy that people go to when they cut themselves too at work. Man, I'm pretty good at taking care of that. You know.
Yep. That's the way.
I had a guy cut himself last year, and you know, I stitched him up pretty good. And the guy, I mean, he's kind of a moron, you know. So I told him basically, I said, "Don't open your bandage until you come to work tomorrow, and then I'll clean it up for you and change your bandage." You know. So
this guy
sends me a picture. Yeah, this guy sends me a picture at like 1:30 in the morning, and he's got a fifth of Jack Daniels next to his hand, and it's all opened up, and he's like, "It's looking pretty good. I super glued it." And then I get a text at like 3:45 from his girlfriend. It's like, "Hey, this is Mark's girlfriend. Something happened to his hand, and I'm taking him to the hospital." Yada yada yada.
Oh my god! I hope, like any good chef would do, I hope you text back and says, "Wait, Mark doesn't have a girlfriend."
Oh, no, man, I was sleeping, dude. I just saw these texts in the morning, you know. First I see the hand, and then I see this. And oh, yeah, man. So he got, like, five stitches, and he, like, you know, I couldn't believe this kid. He came on, and he said, "The doctor said I can't work for 2 weeks." And it was on the back of his hand. Yeah, I'll never forget it. And it was, like, the day he came in, with that note, it was the Thursday before Easter.
Oh.
So he just like fucked his team so bad, you know.
Damn, Omar, what were you saying?
When you drink alcohol, you breathe a lot more. A lot of times,
yeah, because it thins your blood.
That's like tattoo artists get mad if you drink alcohol the night before.
Exactly.
Right, that's what you guys both said the same thing there. Yep, you said the same thing there. Absolutely,
yeah,
that's
right.
Funny. That's freaking crazy.
I got my pinky stuck in a mandolin.
I actually did this.
I was at home. This was about like 7 years ago. I was married at the time, and my son's mother was pregnant.
You finally divorced the mandolin. That's a weird name for a girl.
I can't even remember what I was doing or what I was slicing, but I remember hearing I was talking to her, and I turned around as I was doing this, you know, over my shoulder to talk to her, and all I heard was this little—it's almost kind of like a crunch. You know what I mean? It's kind of like you feel it, you know. And I couldn't pull my finger out, so I was like, "Shit!" So I yanked it out, and it's the same story like you said earlier. You know, you see all this like white stuff, and then I'm just looking at it, and slowly blood starts showing up, and next thing you know, it starts squirting. So I just made a refugee band-aid real quick.
I wrapped
it up in some gauze and dipped it into alcohol, and then I put the wrap it up again. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. So it was just, I remember my dad used to put salt, because when my dad cut himself, he would put salt.
Oh yeah, it hurts so bad.
I'm just gonna put fucking out, and when I was doing that, I was like, I don't think this is a good idea. I was like, maybe I should just do salt instead, but I did it anyway. So then when I saw that that wasn't working because there was like a lot of blood, and I put some salt on it, and I was like, you know what, maybe I should just let you handle it. And I thought, you know, had her.
You put it in alcohol, then you put salt on it? What's next? Did you take your creme brulee torch out and just torch the motherfucker?
Right?
Jesus Christ. When I was at that moment, I was like, I don't know, I just want to stop the game. So I just started, everything started coming out of the memory. I was like, all this shit that fucking I saw other people doing, I was like, I'm going to do it too. I was like, I didn't have a torch at home. I'm pretty sure I would have fucking done that too.
Jesus Christ. Like, remind me next time I get cut or get hurt that you're the guy not to go to. Omar's like, no, I got you, man. Look, here. If we hit that shit with a hammer, it'll stop.
Here, cut it a little more first. This is what my dad used to do.
I come from a place where people are, you know, quarterizing rules in a very unethical way. You know what I mean? I've seen people heat up quarters, take the quarter with the keys and just heat up with the torch and just put it on the wall.
Yeah, I saw a Mexican guy one time take like the skin from the inside of an eggshell and wrap it around his finger that he cut himself. That was pretty interesting.
What the fuck?
Yeah. No, they were that's also a lot of Italians do this shit. They use egg whites.
That's an old school trick, man.
Yeah. Use egg whites.
Look, maybe I'm just old fashioned. Like, we just go get to patient first and get like stitches and shit. Like, maybe I'm weird. I don't know. Like, we just go to the doctor.
I remember when I was a kid, I was like 7 years old and I broke my wrist, and my dad took me to my grandma's house first for some reason. And my grandma was like rubbing what felt like oil and salt on my arm and saying a prayer in Arabic, you know? And I remember I was like 7 years old and I thought to myself, I was like, what the hell is this, oil and salt? You know? Like, I need to go to the doctor right now.
You were like, Grandma, I just grabbed
a kid. When I was a kid, my mom, when I would get sick, my mom would, this is also like mad traditional. Also back to, listen, I think the sales of egg whites is going to fucking skyrocket after this podcast. She would whip egg whites. And when I had a fever, she would whip egg whites, put it in a sock, right? And made me wear socks. It was the worst experience of my life.
What?
You know what I mean? It worked. It works, but it's the worst. First of all, it's just, I mean, think about it. Putting your like, bare foot into egg whites in a sock, it just, it's not a pleasant experience, especially when you're sick.
Like stiff peaks?
You know what I mean? But then taking a sock off the next day when all the shit is dried up, it's like, you know, it's killing all the skin and hairs off of you. It's like torture.
That's so weird.
There was also another remedy, too, that they used to do. They used to take the fat from the pig. They rub it on your chest and cover your chest with newspapers.
That's so weird.
I don't know, but that
all these whole remedies.
Hey, look, rubbing pig.
I really make my country.
It's just old school home remedies. It's just weird to us because we're not used to it, you know.
Well, look, rubbing pig fat on your chest is just a Tuesday night for me. That's what I'm doing when I'm done with you guys. I just freaking go upstairs and rub some pig fat on myself, and that's what I do.
Make sure you have a cucumber with you, holding medicine.
That's right. Menacingly hold the cucumber. That's where I was going. We talked about breaking his wrist. But I'm just trying to find out that now, did your grandma whip those to stiff peaks before she put them in the sock, or was it like soft peaks?
Hello?
that was my mom. That was my grandma. That was my mom.
Oh, your mom.
Was,
there you go.
Yeah, it was. I think they were over whipped. I'll be honest with you.
Grandma, you over
whipped. I remember that image vividly, and I whipped a lot of egg whites. I'll be honest with you. To this day, when I'm whipping egg whites, I promise you, every time I remember that. I'm just like, oh.
Every time you remember
like, egg whites? I don't even like tasting it. You know, I'll taste it when I mix it in with you know, other ingredients. I'm making like, you know, macaroons or something or decois or some shit. But it's just like just the thought of it. I'm like, egg whites. I'm like, oh, please no.
That's so funny. No.
That is really funny, man. It's crazy to see. It's so funny when you talk to guys who've been doing this like we have, as long as we have, and just the stories you can tell. I mean, I haven't even scratched the surface. I'm sure you guys haven't either, but it's the fun part about having these conversations when you talk to, you know, chefs who have been in the business or just people who have been in the hospitality industry for a long time. The shit that we see, the stories that we can tell, it's unfucking believable, isn't it, Haas?
I had a buddy he told me one time, he told someone to make mashed potatoes in the sink, like put the pot in the sink, you know, and
right.
He said he went back and the guy was mixing the mashed potatoes in the sink.
Oh my fucking god.
Family meal.
Oh man, yeah, sometimes things get lost in translation.
Hey, look,
in
I had
Detroit
a server
one time. Oh,
go ahead. No, you go ahead. Tell your story. It's good.
I had a guy one time. He told me, luckily, I wasn't working at the restaurant. I was the sous chef at this restaurant. I left like 6 months later. The chef's telling me how he has this new dishwasher, and he to drop the soup. You know, there was like 15, 20 gallons of, ironically, clam chowder again.
What's up with you and clam chowder? What the fuck?
Yeah, this one was New England. It wasn't Manhattan. So it was Thursday, you know, he's making the clam chowder for the Friday, you know, and he tells the dishwasher, he's like, drop the soup. So he comes back from around the corner, and the dishwasher's like just finishing pouring it down the drain. So
He
tells the guy, he's like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, and in the guy's defense, he looked at him and he said, you told me to drop it.
Oh, what the fuck?
Oh, man. There was like a gallon language, and a half, 2 gallons.
We used to have like our own vocabulary, our own dictionary, for real.
If you don't know something, just go look it up real quick.
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely. Hey, I had a server one time ask me what time the 6:30 party is coming.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
I said, they'll be here about 8. I hope you're ready.
I've been telling servers at this restaurant I'm helping out that my name is Felatio.
No, it's an ethnic name.
You holding a cucumber?
No, I'm not holding a cucumber when I say it. Menacingly below the waist.
Hey, look, this isn't really a kitchen horror story, but so we had a new server start this restaurant years ago. She drove me fucking nuts, man, and because she would just keep fucking up, you know what I mean? And I always try to be nice. I was never a dickhead in the kitchen, but like, she would fuck up to the point where you're in the middle. I got 40 tickets on my board in front of me. My printer is going, and this bitch is fucking up. Like, I ain't got time for that shit right now. So I told her one night that she had to clean, you know, where the coffee machines that have the hot water, where you can get the hot water for tea or whatever out of. I told her that it was her turn the end of the night, that for side work, I needed her to clean the hot water machine. But before she'd do it, she had to empty it out. And so it'll take 5 or 6 buckets, but just empty it out before you clean it. And then it'll be a lot safer that way. That bitch sat there emptying that bucket 45 times. It was the funniest thing.
Oh,
everybody's gone. We're still in the kitchen. She's like, Chef, I don't know what I'm doing wrong here. I had no idea I could hold this much water. I was like, nah, you're almost there. I can see the meter. You got it. Just keep.
Oh, man. That's so great, dude.
Fuck yeah. So look, you guys have been, this is conversations. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to.
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I think we had a little hiccup there with the phone calls. Look, we're going to wrap this show up anyway, man, because it's been a lot of fun talking to you guys. I appreciate your time tonight. We're going to do a quick game of What Did We Learn, brought to you by Ergo Chef Knives, the new shape of cutlery. We're going to reshape your brain. Make sure you check out ErgoChefKnives.com. Use promo code PLUM15 off to get yourself a brand new deal. These are great knives. Oh, yeah. I swear by them. I use them every day. Make sure you check them out. We're going to do a little game of What Did You Learn really quick. And all we're going to do is we're going to each say one thing that we learned tonight that we didn't know before this conversation started. You guys ready?
Oh, yeah.
I learned tonight.
Yep, you go.
Go ahead. No, you can go first. Haas is ready to go.
No.
Go for it, dude.
Okay, while you guys are arguing, I'm going to go. Since you guys are arguing, I'm going to go. I'll learn that you can threaten somebody with the cucumber while holding it menacingly below the waist.
It works. As long as it's menacingly below the waist, absolutely. Hey, look here. I learned tonight that if I get injured, the last motherfucker I want helping me is fucking culinary harassment. That's what I learned. Chef, I cut my hand. Don't worry. Put it here. We're going to hit the other one with a hammer. That way you won't feel where you cut it. It'll be just fine. This is what we usually do where I come from.
Salt if you cut yourself. Maybe if it's a small cut, try it. But if it's a big cut,
that's right.
No.
That's right. Haas, how did this conversation better you tonight?
How did this better me? I learned, you know, not to stick my finger in alcohol and then salt. And I learned not to tell anybody about the cucumber ever again.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I've never needed stitches. I got a clean heel.
Okay, look. Haas, you just made beer come out of my nose.
The cucumber. Just be careful how hard you squeeze the cucumber. You know, you still want to use it later.
Oh, fuck. You just made beer come out of my nose. Oh, that hasn't happened in forever.
It's been a blast, man. Pleasure meeting you over the phone, Omar. I hope we can catch up and link
absolutely,
up sometime
man.
Soon, man.
Absolutely.
There it is.
It's a pleasure as always, man. Thanks again, dude. Until next
great
time.
Great to hear your voice,
you know.
Man. Look forward to
thanks
talking
lot,
to you
man.
Soon.
You
hey,
too,
man.
I hope everything's well with you.
Awesome, brother. Look forward. I might be in your around your way here soon, man. If I am, I'll give you a shout, all right? Otherwise, I'll talk to you
soon,
bro.
Let me know. Try to let me know like a week in advance, man. I'll take some time off. I'll show you around, you know, yada, yada. Introduce you to some chefs. We'll eat some great food.
Yeah, man. No doubt. Hey, tell them where to find you on social before you run out of here.
If you guys want to check me out, you can check me out. My name is Hassan Muslimani. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Or check out my food truck, The Drunken Rooster, or The Drunken Rooster Food Truck. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and we have a couple websites. So check me out, guys. You know, I'm all over. I'm on these streets in the Metro Detroit.
There he goes. That's Chef Haas right there.
Thanks
holding
a lot,
down the track. Brother, good hearing from you, man. You got it, buddy.
Good
I'll talk to
you
soon,
man.
All right?
Take it easy, too, Omar. I'll talk to you guys soon, all right?
Absolutely.
Bye,
I have a reason to come to Detroit now.
There it is. There it is. Yeah. Omar, that was a pretty good time. That's a good dude, right?
Absolutely, man. Listen, man, I would really love to meet this guy, man. Like, I actually, you know what, just recently I was talking to somebody, I was saying that I want to actually go out to Detroit. You know, I hear so many beautiful stories about Detroit, you know what I mean? And now I really have a second reason to go, and hopefully I'll come up over there and I get a chance, and hopefully within next year sometime. Because it's coming soon, and get to know him a little bit more, and really see what Detroit is all about.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I mean, that man over there is trying to do a lot of things out there. His food truck is crushing it. He's a fantastic cook, and as you saw on the phone there, the conversation, a funny guy and just a good dude all around, you know?
Yeah, it seems like it. And there was a bit about cucumbers, too.
Dude, that's a funny fucking story, right?
It is.
I can't believe you say that shit on the air talking about you held a cucumber. I can't even fucking talk, man. And then
this
he says,
look, Instagram post, man. This is absolutely happening tomorrow.
I love to see it, man. Look, that's what cracked me up the best is when he goes, I learned tonight never to tell the cucumber story ever again. That was awesome. Yo. Oh, shit. Omar, tell him where to find you on social, brother.
You'll find me on Instagram, Culinary Harassment, and pretty much it, really. That's pretty what I utilize the most, and I spread it around on Facebook and Twitter from there.
There you go. Where are you working at now?
I'm back in Junoon.
Yeah.
I'm back in Junoon at Flatiron District, the Indian restaurant.
And happy and good, right?
Yeah, well, everything's good. You know what I mean? Trying to build this pastry team together. It's pretty solid, man. I had this kid who came from LA. He sent me direct messages earlier that year that he wanted to, you know, stage or whatever, and I completely forgot about that. You know what I mean? And he just when I assumed the position over there, he just showed up because he happened to be visiting his cousin or friend or somebody here. And he just showed up with his tools and everything, and they told me, hey, you have a stage upstairs, we're waiting for you. I'm like, I don't have anything scheduled. So I go upstairs and I meet him, and I'm like, oh shit, that's the kid, right? And after that, we go out for a drink, and I really don't know his whole situation. You know, I kind of forgot he was from LA, you know, and all that. And so I told him, I said, listen, if you want a job, you know, it's yours. And he takes the job. And when he takes the job, I find out afterwards that the kid wasn't even planning to move to New York. He didn't even have a place to live.
Oh,
you know what
shit.
I mean? He actually just moved over here. And, I mean, another thing is he could have taken a job anywhere else in the city that would have paid him more. And he chose to, you know, take the position with me and learn from me, which is, you know, it's humbling. You know what I mean? It really is.
Yeah.
You know, he really wants to, you know, study under me and everything. And, I'm going to give this kid everything I got. Like, really, I mean, I'm telling you, his name is Charlie. Shit, I can't fucking remember his fucking Instagram on top of my head, but he's a soldier, man. I'll tell you what, man, in this career, you find if you come across a person like this, it's one in a million. You know what I mean?
You gotta nurture that shit, man.
It's one of those individuals that he's gonna change the way we eat. You know what I mean? Just give him some time. He's pushing. He comes in he comes in 3-4 hours before his shift. Sometimes it is 3-4 hours later. He's absorbing everything I fucking throw his way. He comes from the serious side of the house. So it's really an honor and a pleasure to give everything that I know to somebody who really wants it. You know what I mean? I've had a lot of cooks who, were just parading around and, to live a lifestyle. You can just tell in their eyes they're gonna flop. But this individual actually pushes me further.
That's what's up, man. You'll find that you'll meet people like that in your life who, like I said, everybody has something to teach, and it sounds like this kid's even teaching you a little bit even about yourself, which is awesome.
Absolutely. I mean, he's a strong individual. He's young. He's in his 20s. And he's definitely going to go places, and I made him a promise, after I find out everything. I made him a promise, and I told him that I was going to give him absolutely everything that I know. And then in a short amount of time, we'll be together. You know what I mean? So, and I'm proud of him. I really am. There's a lot about him that reminds me of me when I first started taking this line of work seriously, and simply because it reminds me of me, I am giving him so much more of myself. Because I really didn't have that. I worked with a lot of good chefs. A lot of people mentored me and coached me and told me a lot of things. But in life, I really didn't have a proper mentorship until maybe like later in life. And I mentioned Chad a lot. Chad really mentored me in a lot of different ways too. So this is something. This is the way I'm grateful for it. And I'm humbled by it because this is the way that I can actually give back finally to somebody who's gonna take it and who's gonna make it his own. And I'm just looking forward to the moment when he's gonna be able to produce his own things and they're gonna be his. They're not gonna be mine. They're gonna be his creations, and it's gonna be his food, and it's gonna be versatile, man. Both salad and dessert. I'm telling you right now, I'm determined to make a monster out of this kid. He's going to be, I told him that, he's going to be the force to be reckoned with in New York City.
That's what's up. Well, he couldn't have picked a better guy to be with, that's for sure, man. You're fantastic what you do. You're great to talk to, and I'm so happy to call your friend. And, dude, I've enjoyed this tonight and just running our mouths and telling stories, man. It's kind of it's how kitchen people should tell Halloween stories, I think. We talk about getting cut up. We talk about horrendous stories with servers. I think that's the way it should go, man. This is a lot of fun. We should do this more often.
You know what, man? Like, every time that we talk, whether it's in person or phone or text messages or social media, it's always my pleasure to exchange thoughts and ideas with you. You also, as a different individual, have a lot of, people might know you on this in entertainment field. You might perceive you as one individual, but I got to know you a little bit better, and you also have opened my eyes to a different kind of life. You know what I mean? We share a lot of similar stories when it comes down to our past. You know what I mean? And
right.
I'll be honest with you, I see a lot of mentorship through you too. You know what I mean? There were many times that you and I talked on the phone for hours outside the podcast or whatever. I'm really grateful for this friendship too, and I know that even though we still didn't get a chance to have that beer that I have with you, I mean,
look, that's gonna happen, man. I promise you. Look, I ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere. We'll make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll make it happen.
But yeah, man, it's always a pleasure to. And every time you ask me to do something with you, I'm always game, man. That's even without the question. from now on, you don't even have to, you know, ask me. Because you'd be like, hey, listen, you know, this time, this place, and you're already on there.
Well, dude, you're awesome. I appreciate the kind words. Seriously, it means a lot to me. Thank you very, very much. I think the world of you. You're a great chef, and I look forward to doing this again in the future, my friend. And I'm going to holler at you here. I'll holler at you in a few days. Just say what's up and just, you know, catch up and see what's going on in life. All right?
Absolutely, man. All right. Good night, everybody. Man. Much love. Kisses. How's
there he goes. There it is right there. Thank you, brother. Hey, man, happy holidays. See you. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye, you too, man. Peace.
All right, buddy. There you go. That's my man, Omar, a.k.a. Culinary Harassment. What a great guy. Big shout-out and thanks to Culinary Harassment for being on the show tonight. And, of course, Chef Haas coming out here talking, telling stories. Man, dude, how hysterical was that story about that fucking cucumber? That ain't never going away. That's for damn sure. Check it out, guys. You can find me on social media at Chef_Plum. That's at Chef_Plum. And, of course, check out Culinary Harassment and, of course, Chef Haas as well on all them social medias. So much fun stuff going on. The show will be back to its regular time next week. I promise, just after. This music sucks. Turn this shit off. What the fuck is that? That's not even good. I downloaded all this new stuff on the fucking, on the system here. And here, how about this one? Let's see if this is better. Yeah, that's much better. Meanwhile, we're back Monday night. It'll be a great show. Look forward to making that happen. Get back to our regular interviews and hanging out and talking and kitchen people. Some of the coolest chefs and whatnot in the industry. I look forward to making that happen. And, of course, thank you guys all for checking the show out tonight. I truly, truly appreciate it. It's a lot of fun doing this. And, of course, I always enjoy the opportunity. Come on here and run my mouth and talk to cool people. That's what's up. Big announcements coming next week. That's what we're going to do. We're going to announce a lot of shit next week. So I look forward to making that happen. So make sure you check us out for sure. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, in the meantime and in between time, please remember food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure that me, you, our families, and everyone that we know give it the time we deserve. I'll see you next week, Monday. Peace!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.